And tonight, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us. Her monthly series of reports, all kinds of incredible stories. We'll be talking about extraterrestrials, mutilations of animals, what's going on there, the alien agenda, and so much more when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. All right, my friends, now's the time. Linda Moulton Howe back with us. Series of incredible investigative reports that she goes out and handles for us. And, of course, her own site, earthfiles.com. Hello, Linda. Welcome back.
Yeah, George, isn't it amazing the headlines that keep coming at us almost like a torrent these days? It's as if the cement and the ice of the history of repression in a lot of directions is just cracking. And tonight, boy, do I have some, I think, revelations. And we're going to go back, starting with the United States entering World War II.
Wow.
In December of 1941. That was after Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And our other enemy was Germany's Adolf Hitler and his Nazi SS. That was a paramilitary protection squad for Adolf Hitler and the National Socialist German Workers' Party, known as the Nazis. Hitler's goal then, he stated, was to annihilate the Jewish population on Earth and take over the planet with an Aryan race of blonde, blue-eyed beings referred to as a Nordic super race. It is further alleged that a sinister alien force was behind Hitler and the Nazis, and persistent infiltrations after World War II came when the United States authorized Project Paperclip and brought hundreds of German rocket scientists into U.S. military and aerospace companies. Many insights about that historic schizophrenia have been released just in the past 6 months in two important books, allegedly with approval by military and intelligence operatives behind the scenes. One book is firsthand nonfiction. The other is fiction based on fact. Both have the same theme. U.S. military intelligence during and after World War II became conscious of a powerful alien presence that emerged from Earth's oceans and seas, from inside mountains, and from the miles-deep ice of Antarctica. Some non-humans are described as looking like standing-up alligators or lizard reptilians. Others are sketched as blue-eyed, blonde Nordic types. Some blondes are said to have green or gold eyes with vertical pupils like a snake. Other entities are small and gray-skinned with large dark eyes, known as the grays. But why such a menagerie? Who were friends? Who were enemies? What did they want? These two new books are about American operatives who tried to answer those questions from World War II onward, struggling to understand and play a very confusing multi-level chess game with both friendly and unfriendly alien beings without the public or the media ever finding out, because it was assumed the truth would panic an already agitated planet. Tonight, I'll begin about all this with the recent fiction-based on fact book and follow with an engineer's insider nonfiction. 2 months ago, in March 2016, a large 675-page book entitled Secret Machines, Chasing Shadows was released. The co-authors are Tom DeLonge and A.J. Hartley, and that word secret is spelled with a K instead of a C. That echoes the K added to the word magic long ago for serious communion with other dimensions. And then there is the U.S. government changing the G in magic to a J for top secret magic classification on UFO and ET-related documents. And Russians and Germans insert Ks in words like America and Politik. 41-year-old Tom DeLonge was born and raised in San Diego, California, and became the guitarist and co-lead vocalist for the American rock band Blink 182 in the 1990s. Currently, Tom is guitarist and lead vocalist of the rock band Angels and Airwaves. On the dust jacket of his Secret Machines, Tom writes about UFO, ET, and alien gods after collaboration with a group of 10 advisors from military and intelligence agencies he is now working with. On the book's dust jacket, Tom wrote, quote, "This first novel in our trilogy sets up important events that had their genesis as far back as World War II and continue into the present day. I know it seems unbelievable, but it's all and always a true story. That is what fiction is for, to tell the truth. One truth, say his advisors, is that the alien presence is an existential risk, meaning life is not guaranteed for humans, and an extinction event could be triggered by unfriendly aliens to deliberately wipe out Homo sapiens sapiens. So now is a crucial time for humanity to learn that we are not alone in this universe and that friendly and unfriendly others have been interacting with this planet for millions of years, some even dominating humans as alien gods of Greece, India, Mesopotamia, the Yucatan, Peru, Atlantis, and so on around the world. Here now, from Encinitas, California, is Tom DeLong.
It's a really big deal to these guys, and it's a big deal because they look at it as an existential threat. They look at it as serious as the Manhattan Project was to win World War II. These guys are working on things that are big, secret, dangerous, and they take enormous measures to keep it secret because they really do feel that's what's needed for them to deal with the UFO phenomenon for all of us.
Your advisors use the term the others?
Yes. In my communications with certain people within my advisory group, it is referred to as the others. The others makes a lot of sense because the first thing people need to realize about the UFO phenomenon is it is intelligence that is here, has always been here, and I think calling them the others makes a lot more sense because they're in our oceans, they're on our moon, they might be underground in certain places. So you're talking about the other groups of intelligences that are here on the planet with us.
You've attributed the others to gods with a little g. Can you please go into that now?
All the different areas of the world have different stories of gods, and I call that the little g. These are beings that have godlike powers that are meddling in human affairs, but they're not what God is. The idea of whatever the big G, God, that created the universe, whatever force of nature that might be, is different. I was told that there are numerous gods fighting amongst themselves and interjecting themselves into human affairs, that those myths are true. All those ancient stories, those are real. You look at a lot of the studies that you have done, Linda, and what people have followed over the past 30, 40 years. Some people that have worked in these facilities have all talked about ancient hieroglyphics being on these craft, and they look like ancient Greek. I am told that they are ancient Greek, that there is a major connection to the hardware that we have and the ancient Greek gods.
The Greek gods were not just mythology on pages or stone. They are for real now, and they were then and in the future, right?
That is exactly what is being told to me.
And if we understood, why did Prometheus defend humanity, and Prometheus was with the Titans, versus Zeus, who won the war, but Prometheus gave humanity fire? What is that relationship? Prometheus favoring humanity's survival, not annihilation. The same thing happened with Enlil and Enki in the Anunnaki. Enki is the one who fought Enlil over whether to annihilate humanity. And right now, we're in the 21st century because Prometheus and Enki prevailed.
Yeah. Around the time of the ancient Greek civilization, these gods came in, and they passed down a huge amount of knowledge. That's when we got the alphabet, and that's when we really got into all the mathematics and everything that we know that comes with the ancient Greek civilization. I put down a question where I said, it looks to me that these gods came down here and they tampered with the Sumerian civilization. And then they started fighting amongst themselves, and then mankind started to factionalize. Well, something happened with those gods fighting other gods that we have all those ancient myths of Olympus and the Titans and all of that stuff. After that, it seems to me that the gods stuck around and they started playing up the different religions between mankind. So we can now be so entertained fighting each other that this intelligence can roam around the planet to do whatever else it is it's trying to do, whether it's trying to tamper with the DNA of mankind or it's trying to figure out how to harness a human being's soul, whatever it might be after, I'm not totally sure. Everything in those early advisory group communications were fine, but when I touched on the idea of hybrids in the human soul is when all the communication stopped on that thread. So I have to look at that as something that I shouldn't have been going into at the time.
Well, I remember back in the 1980s first that I was exposed to the Greek mythology about the war between Zeus and the Titans is really about extraterrestrials. That was the word said to me in the 80s. And that most of our so-called mythologies are actually stories that are related to geopolitical territorial conflicts between competing extraterrestrial groups on Earth that pretend to be gods, that we are being manipulated by extraterrestrial biological entities. So can you address what seems like a disconnect or at least two different ways of looking at this? Your group of advisors are talking about the gods are different than extraterrestrial biological entities or not?
I think that it's one and the same. I think that the intelligence that is here has the capability for space travel. I think that the technology is so advanced it comes off like godlike powers to mankind, but that there are other things going on, that there are groups of humans working with this intelligence, and this would not be your typical Western democracy, that are working with these groups either by proximity to them or directly with them to fix something within their DNA to help them proliferate on this planet. So the question I ask is, what do they need help with if they've been here this whole time? There's a lot my advisory group don't understand. I am being told that a lot of this is being kept secret because we are trying not to initiate a conflict with an adversary that we poorly understand. My advisory group, they call it a triangulation stranglehold where there's three players, us, Russia, and the others. And no one wants to move out of step to initiate a conflict. So it's been quoted that they call this the great stranglehold where us and Russia are always looking down the barrel of a gun, but the gun was given to us by the others. And all of this, perhaps just to see who is stronger. And that's the other thing that's really scary about this thing. The others, they're trying to fix something with their DNA. And if they're trying to tamper with the machinery of the universe, which is the human soul, maybe because they don't have one, like the Bible says, those fallen angels were jealous of mankind and they hated man. You know, I have no idea. But maybe they're trying to create wars to get us to kill each other, and whoever's last standing must be the stronger race.
Well, Tom, doesn't that imply that at least the United States and the allies from World War II have had an ally in one of these alien presences?
Yes, I have been told there are good gods and bad gods, period. I was invited a week and a half ago to fly out to a different state and sit with two people from various intelligence divisions. During the Bush Jr. administration, they were very aware of the UFO phenomenon, and it was a major subject for their decision-making. I think if you're dealing with a subject like this, where these non-human entities are creating wars and creating religions that hate each other, and they're possibly abducting world leaders, influencing the way they make decisions, it completely changes everything if you knew what they were making their decisions based on.
From World War II on, It has been described by some working in the alphabet soup to me over the last 3.5 decades that World War II was an extraterrestrial war working through humans.
My advisory group said that there are various gods competing with each other and competing through mankind with different religions. I do know that even as close as 36 months ago, UFOs were shutting down our nuclear weapons in the oceans.
Can you talk about that?
I don't feel comfortable giving any more detail than that. But what I do think is important here is that this hasn't gone away. Do they not want nuclear weapons because if the nuclear weapons go off, it can kill them? Or do they not want nuclear weapons happening because it contaminates the DNA of mankind, and they're trying to farm us for whatever reason they're farming us for? I just know that it's not only in the 70s. We hear these stories about UFOs turning off weapons when we're doing tests. But what people also don't know, back in the 70s, what was being described to me was UFOs were turning on our weapons just to get the Russians to see that and launch theirs first to create a nuclear war. There are heroes in Russia, and under grave risk to himself and to his countrymen, he did not fire back. Maybe they don't want nuclear war. Maybe they just wanted to scare everybody, but it doesn't look like that when you look at the facts. Either way, a bunch of men and women in Washington, D.C., in these dark little offices, have to figure out what all that means, and they're trying their hardest. And I don't think they know every answer, and I think they need all the support they can get. They don't think that everybody can handle all this. They think that there's a large portion of the global audience that don't have the skill sets to cope with that type of reality. But I disagree. And the reason I disagree is the youth have grown up with the internet, and they've grown up connected to a world that's changed so drastically with technology over the past 50, 60 years. We can't even possibly perceive what the next generation of youth will be capable of handling.
And George, I know from speaking at a lot of conferences that it is the teenagers who run up to me and the young 20s, and they say, look, we know we're not alone in this universe. Linda, tell us about the non-humans. I wish I could give everybody a delineation of the friendlies and unfriendlies, as remote viewer Lynn Buchanan calls them. But Tom DeLong raises an important issue that's relevant to my next 3.5 hours tonight, and that is, have the warring alien presences on Earth been harvesting DNA from animals and humans for centuries in the past and now in a long-term planet-wide farming operation? And George, my next guest, a retired naval engineer, asserts that the answer is yes.
Wow.
And that the goal is to create hybrids of Nordic humans and ET reptilians that can excel in strength and intelligence in order to spread throughout the Milky Way galaxy.
Not just here.
Not just here, but to populate and control other planets similar to Hitler's obsession to dominate Earth with blonde Aryan humanoids. And we are going to hear a lot from this man in this next segment. And when you realize the echo, the reflection from World War II to now.
I'm looking forward to that. Linda's website, by the way, earthfiles.com. You can always email her at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. She makes it very easy for you. And those of you who are brand new to the show, Linda's been with us since the show's inception. She is one of the greatest investigators out there. She is hailed by so many people in the industry as the researcher. That's a pretty good honor. We'll be back with her and much more on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Linda, I'm looking forward to this report. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I hope that you and all of our Coast audience will go to my Earth Files report that is up now at earthfiles.com, entitled World War II Was an ET Battle Fought Through Humans, according to retired U.S. Navy engineer. When you see everything that is woven together there and the images, I think you begin to say, this is becoming clearer and clearer. And the engineer is a good friend of one of my friends, Dr. Bob Wood. I have known aerospace engineer Robert Wood, Ph.D., since the early 1990s after he retired from McDonnell Douglas. And that's when he, Stanton Friedman, I, and others were sharing and analyzing leaked documents of U.S. government knowledge during and after World War II about the glowing Foo Fighters, the chase jets, and the silver aerial discs that could move miles in seconds, make 90-degree turns, and stop in midair motionless without sound. Those were not human technologies. And according to documents and whistleblowers, FDR knew it, Secretary of War George Marshall knew it, Winston Churchill knew it, Eisenhower knew it, and so did President Harry Truman. In 1947, after the several UFO crashes in Roswell and other New Mexico sites, President Truman appointed 12 military science and business minds as Majestic 12 advisors to study and report to his administration about the confusing alien presence. Confusing because no one could understand who or what exactly was behind the global phenomena. What really was behind Hitler and the SS? Who or what helped the Allies? 6 months ago, in December 2015, an important whistleblower book, edited by Dr. Wood, and written in collaboration with retired naval engineer William Mills Tompkins, was released. The title is Selected by Extraterrestrials, My Life in the Top Secret World of UFOs, Think Tanks, and Nordic Secretaries. Bill Tompkins was born in Southern California on May 30th, 1923, with a rare photographic mind, ability to look at most anything and then be able to reproduce it down to the finest detail in sketches or models. When he was 9 years old in 1932, his father took him to tour the anchored aircraft carriers, battleships, cruisers, and destroyers in Long Beach. Bill could remember all the details in his photographic mind, and he began to make scale models for fun. By age 17, in the early spring of 1941, Bill's father had organized an exhibit of his teenage son's ship models at a Hollywood department store. Bill's details were so accurate, and some even top secret, that Navy authorities interrogated both father and son and demanded that the models be taken out of the store. But one U.S. Naval intelligence officer realized that young Bill Tompkins' photographic memory could help the Navy's technical challenges. So, in early 1942, Bill was inducted into the U.S. Navy, went to boot camp in San Diego, and then was assigned to Naval Intelligence on Advanced Technology Projects. Bill Tompkins soon learned that he would be asked to reproduce complex extraterrestrial objects that various corporate Navy contractors had learned about through intelligence operatives that included Nazi SS manufacturing of what were described as anti-gravity spacecraft. Tompkins also learned that behind Hitler and the SS were two different species of reptilian humanoids, including Dracos from the Draco constellation about 12 light years from Earth and known as a satellite of our own Milky Way galaxy. According to Tompkins, Navy intelligence learned that humanoid reptilians from the Draco constellation were manipulating Hitler to annihilate the Hebrews on Earth, to populate the whole planet with blonde, blue-eyed Nordics that were another type of extraterrestrial under the control of the Dracos. Bill Tompkins and his naval superiors were very confused by the idea that hostile reptiles and beautiful blonde humanoids were working together to take over planet Earth. Adding to their confusion were other beautiful Nordic humanoids that helped the Allies defeat Hitler. Bill Tompkins will be 93 years old next week on May 30th, 2016. Before he decided to do a book about his extraordinary life, He called Admiral Hugh Webster, Navy League Corporate Director in Washington, D.C. and San Diego, California. Bill Tompkins says they talked frankly, and the subject was, quote, extraterrestrial threats to our planet Earth. After Admiral Webster read portions of my draft manuscript and backup technical documentation, I asked him, how much of this can I include in a published book? Admiral Webster said, Bill, tell it all. This is most important to our country. Don't leave anything out. Close quote. Everything included, flying all over the United States in the 1940s to secret sites at Lockheed, Northrop, Douglas, other aerospace companies, and top universities that were doing secret work for the United States Navy. Here now from San Diego, California, is Bill Tompkins.
These operatives said that Hitler and the SS made agreements with reptilian extraterrestrials to where the reptilians were to give the SS secret information of extraterrestrial vehicles, their propulsion, their controls, their operation, and everything needed to build those and put them in production. This was to be used for the Aryan German SS organizations to essentially remove all of the Jewish people on the planet and any organization that would be in opposition to the Germans taking over the planet, every country on the planet, and they make these people into slaves supporting their programs, building hundreds and hundreds of German naval battle groups, which would then be supported by kilometer-long spacecraft carriers and all types of spacecraft that would support Germany's naval battle groups out in space in conjunction with the reptilian naval battle groups, supporting them, and they would do the same thing to other stars in our region.
Sir, it was my understanding that what Hitler was obsessed by was to have the Aryan blondes take over and dominate the world and exterminate the Hebrews. Are the reptilians that Hitler was working with tall blondes with vertical pupils in their eyes?
No, they were exactly the same as Nordic people here on the planet. What is strange and what is hard to accept is that while I was engineering section chief at Douglas, I had a Nordic blonde girl with blue eyes as my secretary for almost 3 years on the Apollo program.
Were you getting the designs telepathically from the blonde extraterrestrial secretaries?
I got much of the information from them. Their purpose here was to make certain that we developed the Apollo program, which has a different mission than what was released. The Apollo program was for the United States to go to the moon and build a 10,000-man naval research facility on the moon. That was phase one. Phase two was for the U.S. Navy Space Systems develop naval stations on all of the habitable planets in the solar system and or their moons. Phase three was to go to the 12 closest stars, Alpha Centauri being the first, and build U.S. naval space bases on all of the habitable planets in the 12 closest stars. Alpha Centauri was found to be a twin star system with very, very high radiation. So we were not going to build any facilities on Alpha Centauri.
This was in collaboration with blondes versus reptilian extraterrestrials.
Yes. So what happened in Germany for this entire time, at least that I've been involved, you have to ask the question, do we have many, many Nordic-type extraterrestrial people, some of which are wearing white hats and some of them are wearing...
The phone was suddenly disconnected by an unexplained outside force as Bill Tompkins was about to say, "Black hats." I called him back. "Bill, I have no idea what happened to the phone, but let's continue. You were talking about how blondes that you and the U.S. Navy were collaborating with must be white hats, and the blondes and reptilians that Hitler and the Nazis were working with must be black hats. Can you please pick up there?"
"Okay. Some people have said there may be as many as 100 Nordic-type different extraterrestrials. I guess if you have that many, you're bound to have some of them that are not good people. What Hitler was doing, what is the real mission of Germany? What was really going on about the whole extraterrestrial situation? Germany, unlike the United States, Germany was given extraterrestrial vehicles. Germany was given 250-foot diameter UFOs, not just small ones."
"By the reptilians, right?"
"Yes, by the reptilians. Germany, they were given the controls. They were given the communications. They were given the method of propulsion, electromagnetic and gravitational. But the point here is that Hitler and the SS at the time were given all of these types of vehicles. They were given everything in them, even food processing in the vehicles, to operate out in the galaxy for years at a time. Whereas we here in the United States, we have to start from scratch. We have to later on try to decipher crash vehicles at Roswell."
"The reptilians are giving Hitler and Germany technology that can take them into space, and Hitler himself said the world would be populated by blonde, blue eyes, and the Hebrews would be exterminated. And yet, in the United States, all of you are struggling to understand what is happening in Germany, and the people in the United States helping you telepathically are blonde, blue-eyed secretaries. What is the relationship between the reptilians helping the Nazis, blondes helping the Nazis, and blondes helping the United States?"
"You're asking a $64 question that can only be answered till you can accept that we're not just dealing with reptilians or little grays or whatever. We're dealing with probably thousands of different extraterrestrial species, some of which are just coming here, taking a look, and leaving. Others are doing their own agendas. Good and bad Nordic civilization people. And reptilians can make themselves look like Nordics."
"Right."
"Okay? They can also make Nordics, and vice versa. So if you will accept that we got white hats and black hats that we're dealing with, and the most important thing is that you are living on a planet which is nothing but a laboratory that belongs to them. Planet Earth has been being used for thousands of years by different extraterrestrials. We are and have been just a laboratory planet for extraterrestrial agendas.
And supermarket for genetic material."
"Yeah, right."
"What do you really think happened in World War II? How was Adolf Hitler being used? There was extermination of Hebrews, but what was World War II about if the reptilians and Hitler lost to the Allies?"
"They didn't lose it, okay? Because we did paperclip. And way before World War II, Germany went to Antarctica and mapped the entire area, roughly a little over a third of Antarctica, and claimed it. Then Germany started a program to utilize caverns that were in the area that they had been investigating. So when the agreement was made for the reptilians to join military naval operations with the SS, the reptilians disclosed to the SS that the reptilians had three extremely large conference in Antarctica, the agreement was that the reptilians had two large caverns that the Germans took over, and the Germans started removing the underground facilities for building UFOs and other type of space naval battle group ships. The Germans started taking those and putting them in very large transport-type submarines. Halfway into World War II, the Germans had already removed substantial percent of the production and the research facility for all types of these space vehicles and everything that was necessary to build UFOs, operate them, train personnel to operate them, a massive program.
Are you describing Hitler removing most of the UFO technology from underground at Peenemünde to Antarctica?
Yes. Research was being moved first, and then the productions were being removed. And they took the slave labor to Antarctica. So the situation would not stop, even if they lost the war, would not stop them from their mission to take over the planet. Okay? Now, this is where it gets real sticky. And we now have paperclip.
And George, remember, it was last fall that I had an interview with Lynn Buchanan on Coast to Coast. He was the remote viewer with the Defense Intelligence Agency at Fort Meade. And we were talking about his being tasked to do remote viewing on extraterrestrials in different categories: psychic, friendly, unpsychic, unfriendly, friendly. I've got something going off.
You got a beep going on there, huh? Sounds like a fire alarm or something. Are you there?
Sorry about
that's
that.
That's okay. What was that, a fire alarm?
That won't happen again, that's for sure. There were friendlies and unfriendlies in the ET categories, and he ended up saying that what I found was that there is not us and them, there's us and them and them and them. And he went on and said, there's no telling how many thems are out there, each with their own agenda. The end report that I gave was that all of the ETs, when it comes to psychic ability, can be broken down into four different categories. Psychic grays that like us, psychic grays that don't like us, unpsychic that like us, and unpsychic that don't like us. And what is amazing to me is that since the early 1990s, first from people in the human abduction syndrome and then various whistleblowers, I have heard about cloned and hybridized bodies being used as camouflage in Earth secret wars, not only in World War II. And one long conversation I had in December 1999 was with a retired defense intelligence.
Hold on, Linda. We're at the break. We'll be back.